Thank you, Taylor. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for this day. We are grateful for this Sabbath day. We are grateful for all that it is and all that it represents. Lord, we are grateful today to be able to come to your word. And so, Lord, I pray in these moments you would take our hearts and the things that have taken our time and attention and activities this week and set them aside, Father, that we may hear you clearly today, that we may hear from the power of your word. Lord, you would speak to each of us as you choose to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's the question of the morning. Have any of you ever been lost before? No? Nobody's ever been lost before? Well, okay, we have one honest person in the whole congregation, so. I have been lost, I mean really lost, at least three times in my life. Once when I was working for a Christian recreation program, and I will spare you this story for the sake this morning, but we ended up having a situation where we had a counselor and two kids get lost in the woods. And so at midnight, we were out searching for these folks, not knowing where they were. We didn't know where we were in the woods. We were on a canoe trip, so far away from home. So no way to have an orientation of where we were going and what we did. The good news is we found them at the end of the day, but it was a little unnerving being out in the middle of the woods at night, having no idea, zero idea, where we were. I was also lost once in Jerusalem. And I guess if you're going to get lost, that's as good a place as any to get lost. My guide and I were going somewhere, and he said, you know your way around, just go over there, because we were looking for a market, just go over there, and I'll meet you back at the hotel. But, well, what could go wrong there? Turns out, a lot can go wrong there. So I wandered around for a little while, found some helpful people eventually, and found out I was lost about 100 feet from where I knew where I was. So that's when you're in a different place, that's what happens. But the time I was probably most lost was with a group of people. We were in Sierra Leone, and Sierra Leone, jungle, grasslands. We'd gone to a village far out to share the gospel. It was an exciting time. We had a truck and a car full of people. Well, the car developed a flat tire in the middle of nowhere. Now, this may shock you, but there aren't spare tires lying around everywhere in the jungle in Sierra Leone. So the folks who were Sierra Leone and said, you know what, we can get this taken care of. We're going to send somebody into this village. They know somebody. We'll get this taken care of. Why don't you guys just go back into the main city and we'll meet you there? And we thought, okay. And they said, there's basically one road. You know, there's only one way to go. So just take that road. About 15 minutes into that trip, which turned out to be a three-hour trip, we realized, why did we leave all the people from Sierra Leone back there? Because we'd get to these, we're driving through these little villages, and we'd get to a path, and we didn't know whether to go, like, road is an exaggeration. Only motorcycles could go on most of these roads and big four-wheel vehicles. And so we'd get to a place in the road, and I'm sitting beside the guy who was the chairman of the board who knew no more where we were than I did, and we'd come to a place, and I'd say, left or right? He'd go, right. But and we're in the middle of the jungle. We'd go through these villages, and people were looking at us like, does anybody else think it's strange a whole truck of white people are driving through our village at 10 o'clock at night? So it was a bit unnerving. What was really unnerving, and actually our prayer life increased significantly during this period of time, but at the end of this road, however, whatever you called it, we got back, and all the Sierra Leone guys are leaning against their cars, laughing and having a good old time, like, we thought we were going to die out there, and they thought this was just some kind of fun. My point is, sometimes being lost can be a little unnerving. Now, I don't know what you think being lost in the wilderness of Israel looks like, but trust me, there is nothing out there. We think of American deserts or whatever, and there's some shrubs and bushes and cactuses. In Israel, in the Judean desert, there is nothing but rocks, no plants, no anything. And it is hot. We were there one day in June, and it was 115 degrees. That was actual temperature. So these folks who live in the desert eke out a very creative living. Well, the point here is, If you're lost, you can be in real trouble if you don't have some critical things. This morning, we're going to meet a group of people who are lost, or at least in transition for 40 years, the people of Israel. We're going to begin a series this morning called Joshua, a study of God's people in transition, and see what we can learn from the book of Joshua about a people who are in some transition ourselves. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 starts after the death of Moses, as you see at the end of Deuteronomy. And so as we read this, I want you to listen to the Word of God for principles about being lost or being in a time of transition. And I remind us as we read this, this is the Word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will have prosperous and successful. Be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is going to give you for your own. And we'll read the rest of this chapter next week as we continue in this word. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Well, as you know, this is the story of the nation of Israel, beginning in a whole new phase in the nation's history. This is a people who had been lost, wandering in the wilderness, trying to come to a new understanding of who they were, a new understanding of God's activity, or at least what this transition meant for them. This was clearly a defining transition for the lives of the people of Israel. And it strikes me that if you are lost or if you are in transition, there are at least three things that you really need to know to survive. And all three of these things are found in the first chapter of Joshua. The three things, I'll just kind of lay them out quickly here and then we'll talk about them for a moment. The three things you need are courage, a map, and a guide. Those are the three things that will really help you if you're lost, right? Those are the three things that will really help you if you're going through a significant transition. And this is a story of the people of Israel, but it's true of our own lives as well. Sometimes our lives are going through transitions, and how we handle those transitions and the things that we lean on during those transitions become super important. So this isn't just a corporate thing for Israel, it's also personal for us. It's as if God is saying to Joshua and the people here, don't panic. I know things look bad. I know you're going up against the 10 strongest nations that the world had known at that point. I know things are going to get difficult, but here's what God says to them. I am with you. And he says it over and over and over again throughout the book of Joshua. Do not fear, for I am with you. Don't panic. So the first thing we see in this reading from the first part of the book of Joshua, is that you need courage. When I was lost in the woods, when I was lost in Jerusalem, my first instinct was to say, okay, take a deep breath. Don't panic. And then I waited for a few minutes and then I said, okay, go ahead and panic. This is bad. Like, you don't know where you are. And you don't know where you're going. You are in a situation completely unfamiliar to you. When you're lost in the wilderness, there are all kinds of things that can be frightening. When you're in transition, there's all kinds of things that can feel a little bit overwhelming. But Joshua 1 says this. What did you hear in that phrase, in those passages four times. He said, four times, be strong and courageous. And in case you didn't get that, be strong and courageous. And in case you didn't get that, be strong and very courageous. And if you didn't get that, then go ahead and be strong and courageous. I'm not sure, but he might have been trying to make a point. He might have tried saying to what we have as the people of God. God knew that they would need to be strong and courageous to do what was ahead of them. And they knew that they would need a great deal of courage. Now, the interesting thing is, we'll talk about this more next week, but God had promised this land to Israel 685 years before this. So they had lived for 685 years knowing that they would get a promised land. And I think as they gathered at this point, they knew somehow intuitively this was that moment. Even though they had wandered for 40 years, this was the moment that they were going to get what God had promised. It wasn't going to be easy. And you know what? Many of them were going to die in battle. In fact, this conquest took over 7 years. It's a long time to conquer a land, isn't it? And not only were they conquering it, but they didn't really have any skilled warriors. What had they done for the last 40 years? Pick up quail, eat manna, and move around the desert. Now, there's not a lot of significant skills that transfer into conquering the 10 strongest cities of the world there, are there? They really didn't have a lot that prepared them for this moment. But what they did have is God speaking directly to them. Can you imagine them hearing the voice of God? And God is saying to them, be strong and courageous. What was he saying to them? No matter what you feel at this moment, I've got this. I've been thinking about this since the beginning of time. In fact, I prepared you for it as a people for 685 years. Now, they weren't going to be courageous since they were so smart or good looking or they had great skills or they were great warriors. I doubt they were any of those things. They could only be strong and courageous because of one thing. They knew that the Holy King of the universe was with them. And it was God himself who was on their side. And here's what they knew instinctively. If God is on our side, then ultimately everything's going to be okay. There's going to be bumps in the road. It's going to be hard. There are going to be significant challenges, but it will be okay. So their courage, when God says to be strong and courageous, their courage was not in their own strength or their own ability or their own way to figure things out. Their strength was going to be dependent on the God of the universe. The Israelites learned early on that your only hope when you're lost, your only hope in a time of transition, the only hope in times of uncertainty is to know that God is with you and that he's got this, no matter what this is. Great lesson for us to learn, isn't it? The second thing that's very helpful for when you're lost or when you're in transition is a map. If you can have a map that tells you what to do, if you can have a map that says, here's where you are, and here's where you're going, then you're in a lot better shape than just having courage. Courage is good. A map is a little bit better. It's a step up in the process because courage only gets you so far. These are important words in chapter 1. They act as a map for God's people. The word of God, it says, was to act as their map. Now, there's an interesting progression here. Look at verses 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may go successfully, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now here's the progression in this. First we see it's that Joshua is told that they were to know God's word, to know God's word. That is, they were to read it. They were to study it. What they had at that time was the law of Moses. They didn't have the entire Bible. They only had these first five books. They were told, you have to know what's in the law. You have to know what God says. They would have had these first five books, but all of these books were often stored in the Ark of the Covenant, were kind of put away. But Joshua is being told by God to do something very different. He's basically being told, make very certain that this book, these books that you have, this map that I've given to you, make sure it's taken off the shelf. It's not just for holy days. It's not just for church. It's a map for your everyday life. It's a map for everything that you do. You've got to be in the Word. It wasn't to be sitting on a bookshelf in display in your home. Just the opposite. God is saying to the people of Israel, you've got to get into the Word. It is your map. Study it. Conform your life to it. Wrap your heart around it. Listen to the book's author, the God of the universe. Let it be your map. Listen to what it says, and let it guide you through your wilderness experience as a map. And if you do that, guess what, people of God? You will never be lost. You will always have an anchor in the Word of God. Secondly, it gets even more specific with Joshua. You notice it says Joshua was not only to know God's Word, but he was to talk about God's Word. Look at verse 8. Very specific instructions in there. Clearly, the command here was for Joshua to share the words of Scripture in his normal day-to-day contacts, to share the Word of God with family and soldiers and friends and the people of the nation, to teach it to them. It was to be shared everywhere with everyone they met. This kind of flies in the face of what our culture kind of tells us about our faith. It's a private faith. It's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. So just keep it to yourself. Keep all this important stuff to yourself. And sometimes, quite honestly, that intimidates us into not being as vocal about the Word as we should. It didn't do any good, God is telling the people of Joshua, if you know God's Word, if you don't share God's Word. And I'd love to make a plug here for two things. It was great that Don and the children got the three circles. Part of this is about evangelism. It's about speaking the Word of God. Evangelism isn't just about being in the community. Evangelism is the spoken Word of God. We are to speak the Word of God. We are to speak of salvation to those around us. And the other thing that always has been important to my family and important in the churches that I've been a part of is family devotions. To make sure that you are passing down these important words to the next generation. Maybe it's to your grandchildren now. How are we living this out? How are we sharing this in our family? How are we helping our families to be students of the Word? Joshua's saying here, it's not just a personal map. It's a map for all people everywhere. But to share it, you have to know it. You have to be in the Word. But it gets even deeper. In this time of transition, Joshua is also told to meditate on God's Word. Now, that's another whole step. It's one thing to know God's Word. It's another thing to talk about God's Word. But it's a whole new step to meditate on the Word. What's God talking about here with Joshua? Meditating means really spending enough time on something that it sinks deeply into your soul and spirit, that it becomes a part of you. It means knowing it so well that it affects everything you do and everything you say and everywhere you go. It penetrates your heart, and it forces you every moment of the day to ask this question. Well, what would the Word of God say about this? As you come up against the circumstance, what would the Word of God say about this? To answer that question, you have to know it and to meditate it. What would the Word encourage me to do? Not what just reading the Word means, but what does it mean for me today? What does it mean for me as I live out my life? Should this change my life because of what the Word says? Joshua knew that it was only the Word of God, as they meditated on it, that would get into his mind and become a part of his normal day-to-day activity and reasoning and actions. In the middle of battle, in the middle of transition, in the middle of hard times, it's leaning on the Word that will get you through. And when we begin to act differently, we begin to make a difference in the world around us. It's then we begin to make a real difference in where we go next and what we do and what we say, because we've taken the time to meditate on God's Word. But there's one more step in the process of Scripture. If you see it here in this first chapter of Joshua, it says Joshua is to obey God's Word in its entirety. Now, here's where I think it goes from preaching to meddling, right? This is getting a little bit more personal here, but it's really the most important part, because a map does you absolutely no good unless you go where it tells you to go. Not only was Joshua to know the word, to speak about the word, to meditate on the word, he was to obey it. Look at verse 8. Be careful to what? Obey or do everything written in it. Now, here was the problem with the Israelites. A lot of them knew about the map. Actually, all of them knew about the map, right? They knew what the word of God was. They had celebrated it. A lot of them spoke about the map. Probably some of them even meditated on the map. But a lot of them didn't actually obey the map. We could go back and find out why they got put in 40 years of time out, right? We go back and look, they had done all kinds of crazy, crazy things to disobey God. So this was God's purifying moment. This is God's way of saying, in transition, we can really look at what's important. We can really focus on the things that are of significance. And then we can obey it. It's why they were wandering for 4 years. And it continued to be a problem all through Israel's history, right? Isn't that the story of the Old Testament? We're doing good. We're doing bad. We're doing good. We're doing bad. Hey, look at us. Oh, don't look at us. Right? That was kind of the paraphrase of the Old Testament, this up and down motion. And then C, while it's very helpful in a transition to have courage, and it's very helpful to have a map, it's most important to have a guide, right? Somebody who's, I've been here before, I've done this, I've got this, follow me. Here's where we're going. Here's what we're doing. Someone who says, I've walked this road before, and I know all about it. Now, Joshua was a great guide for the people of Israel. He was a great soldier. But as far as we can tell from Scripture, he wasn't exactly an exciting, charismatic leader. He might even be described in some circles as a plugger, right? What he did was be a straightforward guy who was mostly interested in carrying out orders. He was a military guy. And when God spoke, he knew that they were to obey those particular orders. We didn't read of any great sins of Joshua, which is actually quite an experience for the Old Testament, right? We don't read that he did anything wrong. He made few mistakes. He simply listened to what God had to say, and then he moved in that direction. We see it in Joshua 1:7. He directed the conquest of the promised land for 7 years flawlessly. It was amazing what God did. And he led the people in a renewal of their covenant with God. And at the very end, when he was 90 years old, he challenged a new generation to be faithful. Flip over for a minute to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. I love these verses. Here's what he said at the end of his life. Now fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had been obedient his entire life. And yet, Joshua clearly knew he was not the ultimate guide. There was one who was his guide. And his obedience to that guide was the constant theme of his life. So as we, as a church, to prepare to enter this phase of transition, we're partway through it, we can learn from Joshua and the Israelites. I think they prepared to enter a new phase of their life together very well. I think they transitioned very well for a people who had been lost for so long. So what can we learn from them? A few things. One, obviously, God wants us to be strong and courageous, making a difference for Christ on college campuses, in the schools, in our community, reaching out to those around our house and our homes. It's what we have been called to do. And there will be challenges, and there will be heartache. But we can be strong and courageous because we have never been out of God's sight and God's care. You know, sometimes we get to be a little bit like spiritual weenies. That's a Hebrew phrase, spiritual weenies, right? And we get to the place where something becomes fearful for us or something's uncomfortable or whatever, and we go, oh, why us? And this is so hard, and this is a difficult thing. And God, through Joshua, looks at us and said, hey, I got an idea. Be strong and courageous. I've got this. I'm in this. I'm at work. Listen to me. We can be strong and courageous not because we're skilled or gifted enough or independent enough. In fact, it's when we're only dependent on God and dependent on his word and hearing his voice that we will be strong and courageous. God's saying to us, don't try this ministry stuff on your own. Don't try life on your own, because we aren't strong enough. And it's then we remember that if God is for us, then who can be against us? The only thing we should be frightened about is living life in our own strength or thinking that we have to figure it all out ourselves. The second lesson we learn is that we have to be a people of the Word. The Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And it's to be our guide in absolutely everything we do. It's to determine everywhere we go, what we say, the ultimate destination, the promised land has been given to us that we will one day inherit. That promised land is called heaven. And we have the Word of God. Joshua clearly reminds us to know God's Word, to talk about God's Word, to meditate on God's Word, and to obey God's Word. And if we do, we will see God's blessing in spectacular ways. And if we don't, we might just get put in time out for a little while for God to speak to us in his own way. We might wander for a while. And finally, while it'll be great for us to be strong and courageous, while it's imperative for us to be people of the Word, the best way out of the wilderness is to follow a guide. Many of you, particularly maybe some of you young people, are deciding who to follow, what to believe in, who will be your guide, who will you listen to. And my encouragement to all of you is be very careful who you listen to. Be very careful about who you select as your guide. Because I know this to be true, the wrong guide will take you to the wrong places and to take you to places where you never wanted to be. The wrong guide can determine where you end up. Now, something very interesting happens in the Hebrew language here. Back in Numbers chapter 13, 16, Joshua's name was changed from Hosea to Joshua by Moses. I think God might have known what was coming. The Hebrew pronunciation of Joshua is Yeshua. Might sound familiar to you, right? It means the Lord is our salvation. Later, there would come another guide whose name was Yeshua. We call him Jesus. The record of Joshua tells us that God reveals he has chosen a righteous leader who had unmatched courage in Joshua. And Joshua is a forerunner of this other man, Yeshua, who would one day lead all believers into a new promised land called heaven. Joshua and Jesus would take their people into a new promised land through new covenants. And guess what we will find out about Joshua? Joshua is the gospel played out. It's a powerful thing that we'll see over time. And as the first Joshua was the savior of his nation, the second Yeshua will be the savior of the world and of his ultimate people. The first Joshua simply points to the second Yeshua, the ultimate guide for the people in the promised land. Let me put this as simply as I know how. If you aren't following Jesus, then you're following the wrong guide, to the wrong place, with the wrong destiny. As Christians, we sometimes forget what our guide looks like. And here's where it comes full circle, because we can only be strong and courageous because of who our guide is as Christians. We don't rely on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own power, our own strength. We rest on the ultimate guide whose name is Jesus. You know, in so many ways, we're blessed to live in the time in which we live. In our day, courage looks a little bit different than in Joshua's day. We aren't going into physical battles. We aren't looking at conquering the 10 most powerful nations of the world. We aren't going into a situation, at least today, where our family members are going to die. Yes, we face spiritual battles, don't we? We face attacks, and we need to face those things. But we are blessed to be facing not what Joshua and the Israelites were facing. And the map that Joshua had was only a partial map. He only had the first 5 books of the Bible. We've got the whole thing. We know the whole story. We know the beginning, and we know the end. We know all that's needed to be known. And that's why we should be all the more courageous, because our map is complete. And Joshua knew nothing of Jesus or the Holy Spirit. But now we have this total picture of the power of our triune God. And yet these people of God, the Israelites, went. And they did what God told them to do. And then God showed up in spectacular fashion. And I pray that for us. That as we do these things, if we're obedient to the things that God has called us to, if we will let God teach us in transition and in the wilderness, God will show up. And we should have all the more courage, because in a time of transition, we have all that we need to be what God has called us to do and to be. And lastly, if we're going to face this transition and times of uncertainty, we need to remember this. God is not just with us, He is for us. And that's what the Israelites instinctively understood before they crossed the Jordan River. He was with and He was for Israel. And He is with and He is for us. And they didn't wander aimlessly after that. God gave them very intentionally what He had called them to do. God needed everyone from the nation of Israel to show up. They all had a part to play in the conquest and in the battles. And the same is true for us at New Bedford. Now is the time for God to have His people step up. Not step back and wait. It's the time to step up. We need you. We need your gifts. And if we're going to make a difference in our land and in our community, this is a time to begin thinking about that and what it looks like. So please step up and join us in this exciting adventure of faith. Guess what? Maybe I shouldn't say this as the transitional person here, but I have no idea what's going to happen. And neither do you. But I know someone who does. And He is our faithful guide, and He will lead if we will follow. No matter what, I know that God is not just with us. He is for us in a time of transition, in a time of a new act of His adventure in this church. In fact, with as little knowledge as they had in Joshua's day, all they could really know for sure that God had told them to do this and that they would be obedient. They knew that God was not just with them, but He was for them. So let's march courageously together. Let's be strong and courageous, as Joshua called us to do. Let's be people of the word. Let's be open to what our guide is telling us to do and where He is calling us to go. I think exciting things are in store. There were amazing things that we're going to read about over the next weeks and weeks and weeks as we go through Joshua. But I pray that's just not an old biblical experience. I pray for us that it's our experience. And we would lead into the excitement that God has for us as we go into the future. Let's pray. Lord, I am so grateful for Your word. And I am so grateful for the power of Your word. I am so grateful that You spoke so forcefully into the people of Israel in this time of coming out of being lost in the wilderness, into this time of transition and new beginnings. I'm sure it was both terrifying and exciting. It was filled with new things and new experiences, things they'd never done and seen before. And yet, Lord, they in the midst of this uncertainty, moved with great passion and great obedience. They listened, they were courageous, they were people of the word, and they followed the guide that took them to where You had called them to go. And Lord, may it be so for us as Your people here in New Bedford in these days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.